Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever looked at the things going on in the news and wondered why so-and-so keeps getting away with such-and-such? Have you ever been tempted to think that God has become indifferent to the ways of evil people? Have you ever been tempted to think that, well, life would be a little bit easier if I just did a little bit more of what the world does? Have you ever felt like the Lord has forgotten about you? Have you ever felt like maybe the Lord wasn't paying quite as much attention as perhaps you think he should? Our readings today assure us that, in fact, he has not forgotten you, and that he is paying very close attention to you, especially you who esteem his name. But we're also warned of the danger of falsely accusing him of injustice. Our Old Testament reading today begins with the Lord challenging his people for their speaking harsh words against him. They complained that it was vain to serve the Lord. They complained that there was no profit, no value in keeping his commandments. A little bit of background on these complainers. Levi had feared the Lord. Levi had stood in awe of the name of the Lord. True instruction was in his mouth, and no wrong was found on his lips. He walked with the Lord in peace and uprightness, and he turned many from their sins. But by the time of Malachi, the priests who had descended from him, many of them had turned aside from the Lord, and they had caused many to stumble by their false teachings. They polluted the altar of the temple with blemished offerings, blemished sacrifice, and they corrupted the covenant of Levi. Judah had become faithless, going through the motions of worship while living openly and deliberately in sin, intermarrying with those who worshiped false gods. By the time of Malachi, the last of the exiles had returned from Babylonian captivity, and it would seem that many had learned nothing of real value from that experience. Their words were harsh against the Lord. And Malachi charged them in chapter 2, just prior to ours, he charged them with complaining, saying, "Where is the God of justice?" They complained about God as if he weren't even listening. A bit of a story. There's a movie that my kids like to watch. In one particular scene in this movie, two of the heroes are running from a giant snow monster. And there's a little snowman that's running beside them. And they're running through the trees and they're screaming in fear of what's chasing them. And the snow monster is, and there's so much coming from him that there's ice flying from his mouth. The trees are flying, and pretty soon they come into a clearing and there's a cliff. Oh no, what are we going to do? And they're shouting and they're screaming, "Here comes this monster, And all of a sudden, the scene pauses. And the little snowman turns to him and says, "Well, we were just talking about you. All good things. All good things." You ever been there? You're in the middle of hollering. You're in the middle of maybe saying things about someone that maybe you shouldn't. And all of a sudden, they burst into the room. All good things. The people of Judah, much like many among our own people, had stooped so low as to badmouth the Lord. They had stooped so low as to praise the wicked because they seemed to be the ones that were successful. They complained that it didn't pay to keep the commandments of God. They complained that the wicked were the lucky ones, that the wicked were the ones having no misfortune. They blasphemed the Lord, complaining that the wicked have everything their hearts desire. Don't we see that happening? But on the other hand, while evil, ungrateful men railed at the Lord, Malachi spoke of others. He spoke of the proper Christian response to the things that we see going on around us. He spoke of the proper Christian response of seeing others badmouth the Lord. Malachi wrote, "Those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. They spoke back and forth to one another, and the Lord listened to them. Those who feared the Lord, those who esteemed his name, had made it a practice to encourage one another over and against such blasphemous talk. They'd get together and they would encourage each other and hold one another accountable. Don't do what the world is doing. And Malachi wrote that the Lord paid attention to their remarks. In a matter comparable to the Lamb's Book of Life, the Lord took note of the good. Malachi even says that a book of remembrance of these faithful was set before the Lord, was written before the Lord. A book written of those who still esteemed the name of the Lord. He took note. He is paying attention. St. Paul reminds us today that God the Father, that he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. St. Paul teaches that all Christians should know the domain of the gracious will of God that extends to them. Translation, in other words, God's thoughts towards you because of your faith in Jesus are thoughts of peace. They are thoughts of mercy, and they are thoughts of his love. Paul taught that the knowledge of God works wisdom in us. It increases spiritual understanding in our hearts. All this is the work of the Holy Spirit. He describes it as an enlightenment come down from above. But as we see in the news, the same things of which our readings speak, how the wicked seem to be getting away with it, it is very clear that some choose evil rather than good. Deliverance from the domain of darkness has been won for us through Jesus' cross and empty tomb. But still, there are many who prefer the darkness, and they refuse to come into the light. Though it may seem to us like they're getting away with it, like the wicked are going unnoticed and that they are escaping God's judgment. The events of our readings today make it very clear that there is a distinction between the righteous and the wicked. Case in point, as Jesus hung on that cross, one of the criminals who hanged there railed at him, saying, "Are not you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since we are under the same sentence of condemnation, and indeed justly, for we are receiving the reward of our deeds." On this last Sunday of the church year, it might seem a little out of place to be talking about the events of Good Friday, but it is at the cross, it is in the lives of these two condemned criminals, that it becomes very clear that there is indeed a distinction between the righteous and the wicked. As we have read in recent weeks of the end of things, as we have spoken of the judgment that comes on the last day, we rejoice that in Christ Jesus, God the Father has reconciled all things to himself. Today's kind of a transition day between the Jesus of righteousness, the righteous judge that we talked about last week, the picture of him coming on the clouds with glory and judgment. It's kind of a transition day today between that and his coming as the Christ child born in a stable on that first Christmas. The events of which we read today speak most clearly of the necessity of that Christ child, that babe born in a stable. And when they came to the place that is called the skull, there they crucified him. Until that moment, Jesus coming in the clouds, which we talked about last week, held the same dreadful judgment for each of us as it held for all mankind. But at the moment of Jesus' death, all that changed. God's wrath was turned away from those who call out to him. When you call out to him in faith, he hears you and he forgives you. And when they came to the place that is called the skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And like that huge, scary snow monster that came crashing through the trees, death was coming for all of them. One hurled insults of unbelief at the Son of God, and the other pleaded, saying, "Remember me." Both would witness Jesus pray, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Both would see Jesus die before their very eyes. Both would soon fall silent to this world, having their legs brutally broken to speed their departure. But their eternities are vastly different, even as we speak. The light of God's mercy was freely offered to both, and yet one preferred darkness. Malachi had written of the faithful in his time, saying that a book of remembrance was open and written in. He spoke of a book of remembrance that was written before the Lord concerning those who feared the Lord, those who esteemed his name. Like the thief who called, "Remember me," there was a book of remembrance opened. The book of remembrance was marked when that convicted criminal called out to him from a cross. As he called out in mercy, "Jesus, remember me." Jesus would indeed remember him, and he is forever with Jesus in paradise. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved, Romans 10. But in the case of the criminal who railed at Jesus, thus perishing in much and eternal anguish, so also those infidels, those scoffers in our time also would do well not to delay repentance. The time of God's mercy is still at hand. He still takes note of our concerns about all the stuff that's going on around us. He is paying attention, and he has things well in hand. The Lord does indeed pay attention to you and to your life, and he cares much for you who esteem his name. With that assurance, may the words that Jesus spoke to that criminal as he prepared to die for his crimes, may Jesus' promise to him be our assurance. For Jesus was crucified that we may be spared the coming judgment. And so you are. His words spoken to that criminal are your assurance that you also, through faith in Jesus, have been reconciled to the Father. For where that repentant criminal spoke an indefinite word, when you come into your kingdom, Lord, remember me, so Jesus speaks of a certainty. He speaks of the certainty of his being spared the coming judgment as he responds, not with the uncertainty of, well, whenever, but with a definite today. Jesus said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." This assurance is for you who call out to God in mercy for the sake of and in the name of Jesus. For there is a distinction. He is paying attention. There is a distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve the Lord and those who do not. He does pay attention to you, and that's not meant to be a scary thing. But he cares. He cares deeply for you, and he will get you through the stuff that you see going on in the world. He is paying attention and he cares. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand as we confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed.